Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 107 of the Still City Insider podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jeremy Ritz, alongside Mr. Jim Wexel. And today we are going to be talking all about the brand new Pittsburgh Steelers that have joined the team via this year's draft. But before we get into that, Jim, how are you doing this fine Monday?
I'm good. It was a good draft. It was a good time. Good time to get with all my guys, all the boys, all the girls too. The girls are cool too. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Awesome. Pretty cool. And we're going to go through everything here. If you joined us last week in 106, we actually made some correct calls, not to toot our own horns here a little bit. But Jim, when I look at this draft haul, which is what I'll call it, I'm as a fan, let me separate myself from the media right now, but I feel like they addressed the areas of need that this team needed to improve at, specifically offensive line. And it wasn't just one pick, it was multiple picks. And to go along with your statement about this team needing ass kickers, it got all of that and more. Fontenot dropping to them at 20, obviously going to be challenging Dan Moore. Frazier, my guy, they get him in the second round. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it's a list of ass kickers, and let's start with that first rounder.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember on our tape last time, this is the guy I loved. I called Alt and Olu soft. This was the best left tackle, I thought. And since he was a left tackle, I never thought he'd get drafted. So I left him and went Fuaga, Frazier in the second round, Roman Wilson in third. So I got lucky, especially on the second and third. But I think Ray Fittipaldo had the first round right. If Ray and I had combined, he could have talked me into keeping Fountain. Man, I don't know if I should ask you how to pronounce that name.
Fontenot.
No, it's not Fontenot. Fontana. Yeah, I mean, this guy is an ass kicker. He was a number three ass kicker on my board. Zach Frazier was number six, and Mason McCormick was number 19 for the second consecutive year. They had three ass kickers, and I had Roman Wilson on the honorable mention list. And Bob Labriola comes out of his cubby hole, you know, coaches coach, and he goes, "Hey, Omar's really pissed at you that your ass kicker list isn't longer." Because I kept joking in tweets that Tomlin was studying the ass kicker list, and then I ran out of them about fifth round, sixth round, you know. That was funny. Anyway, go ahead. That's enough tooting my horn.
Yeah, no.
Let's go make some predictions, or I'll be wrong about next week.
Yeah, well, you nailed it. But let's just go through here. Let's go through those the first three picks. Now you're going to have me questioning myself. Troy, the offensive lineman, Troy.
You know what you got to do with Polynesian names? You got to look at them because you pronounce every syllable.
Okay.
AU does not equal ah. AU equals AU.
Okay.
Fa-u-fa-nu.
Okay. That. So let's talk about Troy and his. Yes. Troy Jr. And his. He's coming in. Obviously, Dan Moore has started, the fourth rounder, Texas A&M, but he's going to compete. He's got every opportunity to start week one, correct?
Well, I mean, everybody does. That's what competition's all about. But Alan Faneca missed the first 4 weeks. He needed injuries. Leon Searcy didn't play at all. Broderick Jones missed the first what? I mean, injuries or other complete ineffectiveness by a returning starter. Now, you know, Ryan Shazier didn't have anybody to beat out an inside linebacker. He started the first day of spring. Mm-hmm. So it's not automatic that these guys go into the lineup. And Dan Moore's a three-year starter. You know, at least I expect, or I would, this is what I would do if I was the coach. I'd put Falutano at backup left tackle. That's his position. I know it's Broderick Jones' position, too. But Broderick plays a mean right tackle, and he's better run blocker than pass protector, so why not? You could keep him there, unless you've made promises to him when you moved him over there last year. But, I mean, you got a first-round left tackle. Put him behind the left tackle. Start Dan Moore and go through camp. And you're more easier. It's easier to watch the competition than to move Broder to left tackle. If I would give Faetano the starting right job and, you know, try to make Dan Moore some kind of serviceable right tackle, which he hasn't been.
Right.
Some people would say he's not even a serviceable left tackle, but I know I turned to somebody and said, right after the pick of Faetano, I said, Dan Moore just left for the weight room. That's the kind of guy he is. He's going to work really hard. And Duke Mannyweather has said that he's really improved his body again. So, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he'll get the chance. Faetano, when the time's right, he'll play.
Yeah. Yeah. And the good thing is the competition, because that's going to bring the best out of all these players.
Yeah.
So push more. Like you said, he probably went right to the weight room. So there, it's a win-win situation, regardless of how you look at it. But now going
just like last year, they needed a number three. So even if that guy doesn't play, you owe it to your team to get a third offensive tackle. Usually they're scrambling for a veteran to get that left tackle. Like last year, they had LaRaven Clark. They ended up cutting him, but that was going to be their left tackle. You want a veteran. You want a veteran swing tackle. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
And so they got one now, and they could justify a first-round pick on a swing tackle. It's a pretty important position because – nobody stays healthy really all year long.
Right. Right. Which brings us to our second round pick, Zach Frazier, the center out of WVU. Now a little different for him because his competition is going to be Herbig, right?
Yeah.
Who, you know, I don't want to downplay what he brings to the table, but it seems Frazier has, I don't want to say an inside track to the starting job. Do you think he'll be inserted right away, or is he going to have to battle out to win it?
Oh, of course he'll have to battle. I mean, Herbig has some starts at center and didn't look bad last year, and is a veteran, and he's well-liked in the locker room. He's on the cusp of leadership. But he's not a full-time center. He's not a three-year starter. He's not a one-year starter. Mm-hmm. He will get probably first crack. It's going to be more like that position. Left tackle is going to be won by, you know, you're going to see if Dan Moore loses it.
Mm-hmm.
Center will be if Frazier loses it, I think.
Yeah.
But they're not going to hand him the job starting minicamp.
Right.
Especially with Mason McCormick, they have a backup swing guy anyway. So,
yeah. And when I look at this line, you mentioned McCormick there from the fourth round, but if I look left to right, just the future, and I'm going to put Faetano, I think I got that correct.
Faetano, write it down. Faetano.
All right, get an A+. You got him. You got Seumalo, who's an ass kicker. Zach Frazier, who's an ass kicker. James Daniel is kind of an ass kicker. And you got Broderick Jones. I mean, this is, we talked about bully ball last year heading into the season, that's what they were going to play. I think they're set up personnel wise on that offensive line to really be able to play bully ball.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they are rookies, so let's give them a minute. Just let me clarify the ass kicker comments you were making. None of those other guys were ass kickers coming out of the draft. They didn't make the top 20.
Mm-hmm.
This is a high pedigree thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Broderick Jones, Troy Faetano, and Mason McCormick, they're pedigree. They're for life. They're ass kickers for life, whether they, you know, do it on the football field or not, they are ass kickers. So, I mean, Seumalo has become a very good player and so on down the line. But anyway, just to clarify.
So let's jump down to the fourth rounder with Mason McCormick, just since we're honing in here on the offensive line. But this is a guy with a ton of starting experience, reliable, played at South Dakota State, so a smaller school guy. But talk about what you see him bringing to this team in terms of depth. Or could he ever, I mean, it's not going to be right away. Could he in the future be a potential replacement for a James Daniels or Seumalo?
Sure, sure. Seumalo is getting up there in age, and Daniels is on the last year of his contract. Yeah, he can be a backup center for you too.
Mm-hmm.
And but, I mean, he's got more to prove. He's not going to be handed anything, not even a roster spot. He did come out of South Dakota State, and the tape isn't all pretty. I mean, there's some lovely moments where he's just goring these poor Division I AA players around. and he played well against Iowa, but there's some stiffness to him. I mean, he's going to have to really refine his technique, and I think he will, and learn the playbook and study and work. He's going to need to do all of that to become a decent starter. I mean, he could become a really good starter, but he's going to need a minute. Yeah.
Okay. All right, and then we'll go back to the other guy that you hit on the nose there, Roman Wilson, wide receiver out of Michigan with their third round pick. And we knew they needed to grab a receiver in the draft. We know the history of this team drafting players who can come in and contribute right away. And this guy seems to be well-rounded. How do you see him fitting into the system and contributing year one alongside George Pickens?
Well-rounded and hacked off. He's a little upset about where he went in the draft. So that's always good to hear. Yeah, it just sounded like I was listening to Hines Ward on the conference call. Nobody respects him. Everybody's down on him. Look, I'm sure he counted all the, you know, Hines thought he was going to get drafted by his hometown Falcons. Mm-hmm. And they drafted Jamie German from Miami, Florida in the third round. I believe it was the third round. And Hines thought he was going there with that pick. He loved the Falcons. Mm-hmm. And man, every time the Steelers, I'd like to look up the stats on Hines Ward versus Atlanta, because every time, if he didn't play a good game, he talked a good one before it, because he really, really remembered Atlanta passing on him. So I got the feeling that Roman Wilson has a few teams on his list too.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's not afraid to block. So he's going to bring something in terms of the run game. But can stretch the field a bit, but is also a sure-handed receiver, can make some plays after the catch.
And he's going to have to add some weight and get stronger. I mean, that's what Hines did.
Yeah.
We saw what kind of bully Hines turned into. So let's see what this guy does with his body. But he has to get bigger. Yeah. And I got mentioned in my notes column today, I like that story about him getting up at 3-4 in the morning. I forget what time. The time I got up for this podcast, in fact, he gets up to fly to another island to go to high school so he could play football at Powerhouse St. Louis, where Nick Herbig played.
Wow.
He was teammates with Nick. Yeah. Okay. I asked Tom if he went to Hawaii to watch a high school game 4 or 5 years ago. He said, no, but I went to the Michigan Pro Day, and he smiled like, like how important that Michigan Pro Day was. I mean, with that little look, he said, this is my draft pick. Yeah. Roman Wilson.
Yeah. So
Peyton Wilson, I think, was Bill Cowher's draft pick. But go ahead, Jeremy. Introduce Peyton Wilson.
Yeah. So, well, before we do that, just real quick, the wide receiver position. Do you still think they're in need of adding a veteran receiver there?
They got five. I'm sure they'd like to have six. And they have some extra money. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, okay. But I don't know that they're that bereft. You know, they have Wilson, of course, mm-hmm. and then they have two veterans. I mean, the veterans are of questionable caliber, but they are veterans. They've been on the cusp of starting lineups and have started. Mm-hmm. Wes Watkins is very fast, and that's the guy I told you about, drops everything. And it's the other guy, Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen nice highlights of Jefferson, but you know, people who watch him every day say he was very inconsistent. So, I mean, you got those two guys. Calvin Austin, I wouldn't consider as a starter. Roman Wilson might be a little too small and light yet to be outside, but uh-huh. I think he will in time.
Okay. Yeah, and then their second, third-round pick, my favorite. I mean, Frazier, I love Frazier because I love centers. That's what I played back in the day. But, man, I love inside linebackers. And when I saw that Peyton Wilson was still on the board when they were picking, I was like, oh, this is too perfect, and they snagged him. So they got this super athletic linebacker out of NC State. You know, probably he's not going to start right away. He's got the injury history. But, man, if he could grow and develop, this could be a hell of a steal here in the third round.
You know, our dude, our draft analyst, Roy Countryman, we invited him to come on. We wanted his expertise for the show, but he said, thank you, but I've got tape to break down for next season. So I'll just speak for Roy here. Roy loved Peyton Wilson, loved him. This was the linebacker he wanted most of all. I think he even said second round. I don't know. If you look through his copy this year on all the mentions of Peyton Wilson. I'm sure there's a first round mention in there somewhere, but bottom of the third. I don't think Roy knew he didn't have an ACL on one of his legs like Hines Ward and still ran a 4.43. I guess the ACL isn't really, I mean, next time you tear your ACL, take it on, right? Instead of sitting out a year and a half.
Non-essential.
But, you know, Roy was a little upset that he didn't know that Peyton Wilson didn't have an ACL. So thus his early jump on next year's draft.
Mm. Well, no rest for the kid, right? He's putting in that work, and that's why he's is insightful.
Well, he's who he is.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And he'll probably be a rotational guy spelling.
Countryman?
Yeah. Yeah. But Wilson will probably be a rotational guy getting some snaps spelling Roberts and
Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Wilman Wilson. Which Wilson?
I know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I know. It's not even funny. I know. Thank you for fake laughing because.
No problem. You pay me a healthy salary. You know, I got to laugh at your jokes, Jim.
Peyton Wilson is another guy that's going to take a little time. He's going to need a minute. Maybe if you count Mark Robinson, they have three guys, and then Cole Holcomb's a fourth guy. I hear Quan Alexander's begging, but I mean, Achilles, you know, that takes time.
Yeah.
But so we'll see. I mean, he'll make it on pass coverage. He'll get in on pass coverage downs to start. That'll be his. The way they ease him into playing football for them. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And then if we go, we already talked about McCormick. Let's go to their 6th round picks. They didn't have a 5th or 7th this year, but they snag a defensive lineman out of Iowa, Logan Lee. It's probably going to be a developmental player. And then they also got Ryan Watts, cornerback out of Texas.
Any chance Mike DeFabo was a tweet on Brent Kiesel's? Your dad will tell you this guy reminds him of Brett Kiesel.
I didn't know.
You didn't see it? He went through it. This is my mock draft. And he didn't have a name, but he had a sentence. The 3rd round will be the son of a famous football player. Each kind of Tomlin stereotype. He goes, in the 6th round, they'll take a defensive lineman who your dad will say reminds you or him of Brett Kiesel. And I'll tell you, I'm dad. Because this guy is like measures exactly the same as Kees.
Yeah.
And Kiesel was a 7th rounder. He was a big frame guy, a rangy, long defensive end who they thought could add some weight and become a 5 technique, a 3-4 defensive end. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much the Steelers even use a 3-4, but Logan Lee falls right into that exact body type. And he's got speed. He's quick twitch. Kiesel had a little better speed. This guy's a little better agility. They're both strong, and they're both can jump. They actually all have better numbers than Aaron Smith did, but Aaron Smith was the same exact body type. He was 5'07", 279 pounds. Logan Lee's 5'05", the 40, and he's 281. Both, couple fractions over 6'5". The same kind of body build. So, here's the only tape of Logan Lee I watched. I think I watched Mason McCormick play against Iowa. I wanted to see him play against a D1 team. Mm-hmm. And Mason McCormick looked good. Was that at the expense of Logan Lee? I don't know. But Logan Lee didn't flash in that game from what I saw. But I mean, he has good quick twitch. He has good statistics. So the statistics say he can get after the passer and he can stop the run. So you're hearkening back to an old school Steelers type. And in the 6th round, I have no problem with that whatsoever. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah. It's a developmental pick. He's got the bones and the structure to, you know, grow into that position. And there's precedent for this team doing, following that similar type of process on the defensive line. And then you look at Watts, he projects more as a safety. Ran in the 4.5s. What's your take on him?
Well, the rumor going around the media room was that Ohio State wanted to make him a safety and he refused and transferred to Texas. That's why he transferred. Now, we asked Ryan, why did you transfer? And he didn't say any of that. Just, I wanted more opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it seems like my hunch and the unofficial rumor says that he balks at playing safety. Not that he'll balk to Mike Tomlin. I mean,
right.
your last pick in a draft is not balk.
Right.
Unless he drops the ball while in contact with the rubber. That's a baseball joke. This guy's 6'3". I mean, if Corey Trice can't make it back, this guy might.
Mm.
And, you know, I also wondered, while I was trying to figure out why they didn't sign a draft a slot corner instead of drafting a clearly an outside corner, maybe even a safety, I thought about the punt gunner position and how vacant both of those spots are. Pierre's gone and Boykin's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Has Boykin signed with anyone else? I know Pierre has.
I don't know. I don't believe so.
Okay, so he's a possibility to return, but I just wondered if they had Gunner in mind when they drafted Ryan Watts. Because mm-hmm. I haven't watched him either, but he's supposed to be physical in the run game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's 6'3 and physical and can run, so it's perfect Gunner for one thing, at least to get him started.
Yeah. And then in terms of the undrafted rookie free agents, well, I always like to look at that list. Not nobody really standing out other than the, here comes this pronunciation, John Rhys Plumlee. Plumlee. Forget
sounds
that.
Sounds like he's on that show from Vegas. What's that show that they used to, the pawn shop?
Oh, Pawn Stars.
Pawn Stars.
Yeah.
Was he in that show?
I don't know.
No, that was Chumlee.
But he's an intriguing guy. And they paid him the highest signing bonus in Steelers history for an undrafted rookie free agent, I read somewhere.
Okay, well, maybe they do have plans for him. I thought it was just a fourth arm in camp.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they're going to, you know, do some Wildcat with him, Taysom Hill activity. And I mean, okay. But I got to see him first. We'll see.
So, Jim, when you look...
I mean, that's why they only signed five. They used all their money on Chumlee.
Yeah, I know. I think it was like a 35K was the bonus.
Wow.
So, yeah. Something around there.
Wow.
Yeah. So there must be something they like.
A little disappointed in a running back. You can usually get a running back. I don't know. Yeah. This Georgia guy seems small, so... And I think they need a third running back. I don't know that Cordarrelle Patterson could be counted upon. And if he shows life, great. Then you keep the third guy in the practice squad. But no.
So, Jim, when you look at this, you look at all the picks here, you look at the undrafted additions, is this Steelers team a better team as we stand here today after the draft? And has the personality or the character of this team transferred or transitioned or transformed in any way since the draft completed?
Absolutely. I mean, I can't see how it wouldn't have. Pardon my double negative. But, you know, the offensive line, I don't know if it's going to be fixed right from the jump, but you got to be excited that now they have an offensive line and they have a linebacking core. I mean, we learned more about the linebacking core as Roberts continued to play. And then they brought in Queen, and now they draft Peyton Wilson, a 4-4 cover guy. And they have other options, Cole Holcomb, and, you know, that in itself, that's all a relief. Now they just need a slot corner. Is it going to be Cam Sutton? I mean, do you do that? Do you risk that kind of PR? It's not a Rooney-like move, but these guys are getting desperate to have a playoff win. So yeah. Maybe Cam Sutton can find a way to overcome his current struggles. But I like Pat Peterson. I don't agree with everybody that he shot. I think everybody formed that opinion after Ayuk beat him a couple times in the opener. He's not Patrick Peterson of old, don't get me wrong, but I think he could help the team in the slot and with his mentoring, continuing to mentor Peasy and these young Avatar guys. But I think we saw that he's not a safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just, as much as everybody wants to call him a safety because of how much he played there last year, he's just too small. He's just too skinny, you know, and then that's a tackling position.
Right.
But otherwise, I want Patrick Peterson in my locker room, and I think he can handle a slot. Yeah. We know Cam Sutton can handle a slot. Mm-hmm. Man, that's an ugly incident.
Yeah, I went back. Whenever I saw the news that they were talking about or had reached out to Sutton, I just wanted to see what the the incident was. Yeah, it's not
pretty. Pretty.
Nope. Well, now we get to look forward to rookie minicamp, OTAs, right? When's that coming up? And you gotta
get into town this spring, man.
Oh, this
because you could look forward to rookie minicamp too.
I know. I probably could get out there. So I mean, I'm pretty much retired. So,
well, where did you go this weekend? Didn't you go to we went to France or something?
No, yeah, we went to Dover, Delaware for the NASCAR race. Yeah,
south of Delaware. Oh, same thing.
South of France.
Is Dover in South Delaware?
It is Southern Delaware. It's kind of like middle. I guess it is kind of Southern Delaware. Yeah, it's
my first, so I got there.
Race. So we took the kids. They had fun. So
hopefully I got more than that right on this podcast. Hopefully I did as good a job as I did last week. You know, and then the next day I changed to Graham Barton because, you know, I just know they needed a center. I have a feeling that was their plan, Graham Barton. Mm. But when Bautano, I flipped my page over to get Logan Lee and Kiesel's numbers and I lost my spelling of the Polynesian kid. Bautano. He fell. And I am so glad they didn't trade back. Yeah. Because they had two corners, Fautanu, Graham Barton, and they probably could have found a fifth that they liked. You can go down four or five spots and get one of those guys. That's how you trade down when you see there's a group available and you can trade down and still get one of them no matter what happens. And an extra third or fourth.
Right.
I'm glad they didn't do that. I like Fautanu that much. And they were able to get the center in the second round. That's, I would have been nervous too, because I did say on the podcast last week, trade up in the second round for Frazier. Yeah. So it wasn't a perfect prediction, but
they had to have some steel cojones to stay put and not go up after him.
Really? Especially after how jumpy Omar proved to be last year.
Yeah,
how aggressive he was to turn around and do the opposite this year when it was called for. It worked out perfect. They didn't have to give up a third or a fourth. They got some more good players.
And you know,
another excellent job. Yeah.
Yep.
Two in a row.
Yep. And I was just going to say that this is a good opportunity to give Omar credit and Andy Weidel. There I go with my pronunciations again, but.
Now that's another one. I'm gonna send you a list of the pronunciations. Please to keep do. In front of you. Pat Fryermuth too. Muth.
Yeah, but these first two seasons with these guys at the helm,
they're not at the helm. That's the thing. Mike Tomlin's at the helm.
Right, but they're providing leadership in terms of personnel, and they're being aggressive and attacking things, but also the players that they're bringing in. I mean, look at Jones and Peasy from last year in the draft. I'm thinking these gentlemen drafted this year are going to contribute just as much, if not more. I mean, great start.
Yeah, great start. I mean, the personnel department, great start. Yeah. Personnel department always acquiesces to the coach in this organization. Mm-hmm. Unless that, Tom Donahoe was here a few years before Bill Cowher came, so maybe that gave him a feeling of power. Mm-hmm. That in the end, when he and Cowher clashed, he decided he would put his job on the line against Cowher. They both turned in their resignations. Mm-hmm. Dan Rooney accepted Donahoe's, and it just further validated that the coach is in charge. So, I mean, but Omar works the phones. Omar does the deals. He knows what the coach wants. Andy Weidel is aware of what the coach wants. He still makes his board and judges the talent according. If Mike Tomlin says, hey, I was at Michigan's pro day and I'm taking Roman Wilson, no matter where you have him on the board, he's going to get Roman Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember last year I was talking to him and he was raving up the McDonald kid from Iowa State, an outside linebacker, and they needed a number three outside linebacker. If you recall, at the time, who ended up starting for them outside? They picked up Marcus Golden before the draft.
Yeah.
So I'm curious as to why I think they needed a third outside linebacker. But so they were looking at that McDonald kid and they went to his pro day, Iowa State. and Tomlin was raving about him. I said, would you have taken him? Oh, no, I wanted the tackle. I wanted the tackle. So another, that's Tomlin kind of saying, that's my guy.
Yeah.
Hey, he gets support from the personnel department. I'm not trying to, you know, belabor this point, but everybody is just giving personnel department a lot of credit. Hey, they did a great job and they should get credit, but let's keep it in Pittsburgh Steelers perspective.
Right, right. Well, speaking of keeping it in perspective and keeping it nice and tight in the time frame, that's going to be it for episode 107. We hope you got some value out of today's episode. Jim, anything you want to plug from the site?
No, I just want to, you know, subscribe. Subscribe to the YouTube channel because we got over 700 now. We can roll, man. Baby.
1,000. We want 1,000 before the start of the season.
Someone told me that once you get 1,000, then 40,000 is right around the bend. You'd be surprised.
Let's go. Then we'll start getting paid by YouTube. Start getting those big checks.
Start having commercials in our gig, huh?
Let's get some sponsors. Let's go. All right, Jim. Have a great one. Take care.
You too. Take care.